Art Supply Posse. It's not often that I find myself looking at an artist's work and actually saying wow out loud. With Jacqueline Gordian's work, that's what I did. Her art is visually arresting, with it creating a kind of feeling that really drew me in, and I needed to know more about exactly what she's doing, why she's doing it, and all of those good things. So, you know, without further ado, here she is. Jacqueline is joining us today in the Art Supply Posse. Thank you so much for making time out of your very busy schedule. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. And I love hearing people's response to my work. So that was an emotional moment. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I love connecting over all of this. So I'm always happy to make time to discuss and chat with other artists and spread what I'm doing with other artists as well.
I think it's one of the really delightful things about the internet is that we can be having this conversation. I'm in the future, you're in the past, two different countries, like two, you know, vastly different time zones. And also in that is you're sharing your artwork not only with, you know, people in your own space that you can sell to quite easily, I would guess, you know, in terms of, you know, shipping and all those sorts of things. But also, yep, I'm on the other side of the world, and as are a great number of our listeners, and, you know, we're all over the place and we can see what you're making. And it is, you know, of course, we often hear about the negative things about online, mm-hmm, and I'm not at all saying that they don't exist, because they absolutely do. But I think championing the good things is a really nice thing to do as well. And this, the ability that you and I can sit here and have this conversation and then share it with all of our listeners is one of those really incredible things.
Yeah, from now until forever, until audio recordings stop being streamed over the internet. Yeah, it is such an amazing thing. It's so interesting too, being an artist in this time, because there's so much more potential for being seen and having your vision and your mission sort of seen and heard in a real way. So it does create more noise, but it also creates more potential. So I find it very interesting. And I grew up without the internet. I started, you know, my life before pre-internet, if you will.
Yes, same.
So when it did start, So we sort of live in that space where we remember what it was like before, and like having encyclopedias and going to the library. And now it's like all in your hand, which is so fascinating to me. But yeah, my work is very, very not digital, very not internet focused. So I also find that interesting, that I love being able to share stuff to the internet, but like disconnecting is a huge part of how I operate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm tempted to just jump straight in, but I want to just quickly step back and get you to introduce yourself to the listeners, just because I know, well, I say I know who you are. I mean, I don't really. I've only briefly done some research and, you know, we're now having our first conversation, but I kind of feel like I already know you and they don't know you. So perhaps we need to step back 2 seconds before I just launch into a whole conversation and they're like, Kim, we don't know who you're talking to. This is crazy. Because, you know, we better do that say who you are kind of thing, but my mind is already just going off onto about 5 different tangents, which could be a problem, but anyway, we'll try and reel it in a little bit and we'll just get you to share with everybody who exactly you are.
So I guess on the outside, I'm a sculptural nature artist living in the U.S., selling work in the U.S. globally as well, but I guess mainly I'm based out of Michigan, which is the Midwest of the Midwest, or the Midwest of the U.S. And then I guess on the inside, I'm the way I guess I would describe myself as an authenticity seeker, somebody who is a lover of deep, true connections and conversation. And I guess what drives that is I really want to understand like the intention behind what people do, behind what they say, the emotion behind it, because it's something that drives me really deeply with my work and also my personal life. And so there's just something that I find very true about nature and art too, that kind of wraps it all together in that way. And it's when I was just mentioning this, it reminded me of sort of the inside and the outside. It reminded me of there's this exhibition that was in the MoMA well before my time on this earth, but it was called I think it was called Windows and Mirrors. And it was a photography exhibit, I want to say. But the premise behind it was essentially artists are doing one of two things. Either they are showing you what they are seeing out in the world, so windows mm-hmm. through windows,
yep.
or it's a mirror reflecting what they are feeling and experiencing sort of inside. And what's interesting is I feel like artists maybe oscillate between those two things depending. And I know my work oscillates between those two things very much depending on the collection I'm making or how I'm feeling that certain time of year. But, I just love that idea behind the exhibition, and it really kind of boiled stuff down for me pretty dramatically.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, cause it's absolutely what art is, you know, it is literally one of two things. Like, it's funny because you think about all the different types of art you can make, all the different styles. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really what it all boils down to. That's exactly what it is. It's either what someone's seeing or what they're reflecting. That's incredible. I've never stopped to think about that before. And now I'm just like, oh, okay. Maybe our work here mm-hmm. is done. I mean, maybe we've just shared the most important thing ever.
Well, I cannot take credit for it. Whoever the curator and the idea the person ideating behind the MoMA, but it really stuck with me when I learned that.
Yeah. And so with regards to nature, it's literally your work. Why nature? Like, what, I mean, it's, I could tell you why I like nature and everything, and I think we all have our different takes on it, but it's certainly interesting to see someone pull it in the way that you do mm-hmm. and
yeah.
feature nature. Really, that's what you're doing. You're featuring natural elements into your artwork. Mm-hmm. So why are you drawn to it so much, do you think?
Man, I have so many answers for this question. I'm going to try to keep them succinct. I think for some reason I'm going to stay with the inner and outer kind of feeling, but for the inner reason that really pulls me towards it is it has this ability to bring me into the present. So it's really like this mindfulness thing that mm-hmm. has existed for a lot of my life. And I think even before I knew what mindfulness was, right? Like as a kid, yeah. I would bike with friends to a park and we would ditch our bike to the trail. And then we would just go off into the woods for hours and follow riverbeds, pick up nature bits. Like it was just full discovery mode, right? So awe, wonder, discovery, all those three just really combine. And so it's just this endless, endless thing that exists. Like every season has something new. Every place has something new. Every day something interesting is happening. So for me, it's the ability to be, no matter where I am, pulled into the present if I am outside, right? And it can be a simple thing as just walking in the grass barefoot. Like there's just a very grounding moment that exists.
Yeah.
And something that I discovered, as I think a lot of adults discover as they grow up, is there suddenly becomes more worry in your life. There becomes more stress, more anxiety, potentially depression, right? Things that start to really weigh on you. Mm-hmm. And for me, nature is a way to, as like a pressure release valve where I can be very grounded, be very in the moment, and I can put down those things that maybe are running through my head, right? The things that keep you up at night, the things that wake you up. And knowing that I have that is such a powerful thing. And I wanted to, I don't know, I just was so surprised that people didn't see what I saw when we would go on hikes and then I would be off carrying, bringing back branches. And they're like, what are you doing? I was like, do you not see all that's happening in this?
Yeah.
So it just, I would just collect all these nature bits and I didn't know what I was going to do with them. I was not, I just was basically a nature hoarder is what my mm-hmm. husband always joked about. And I was like, that's accurate. I am. And it just was something I wanted to express and show people what mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
Show them like what is possible if even just in the small moments in nature, right? Like you can see the big, beautiful waterfalls. You can see the vistas and beautiful things that Australia has and Ireland has and Iceland has, like all those beautiful yeah. locations, right? But they're hard to get to. They're expensive. Yeah. And there's also, you can also find those in the small moments I've learned. And I love that. I love being able to like put that on display.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because you just made me realize we have a new puppy in our life and awesome. We have begun the process of walking with him. So I have an older dog as well, who of course nails the walking. She loves it. It's her favorite thing in the world. For him, it's overwhelming in many ways, where there's so much more world right around, and you don't even realize it until he stops and he looks around like, what is this thing that's new to him? But he's also got that thing of inquisitiveness that so many puppies have, and of course kids have that as well. And so I've begun collecting some of the things that he pulls off the ground. So I'm surrounded by vineyards, and so there's a lot of debris from where they've trimmed them, and it's all over the ground, and it's so exciting to him, right? Like, he's picking these things up. And I've got this little mini collection that I'm actually referring to as Theo's collection, because he's collecting them when we go on a walk. And I'm looking at them going, these are beautiful. I've seen them so many times, and sometimes thought, oh yeah, that's interesting. I'm more interested them in actually as an architectural thing for photography, because photography is how I like to express myself. But seeing these little things that he's picked up, and I'm like, these are beautiful. And so I've now got them just sitting by my coffee machine, and I look at them every day. And you're right, it's these small little moments where you just, I'm now transported back to when he found them, and that whole little connection. And it's a wonderful thing, I think, and I hadn't really thought of it in that way until just these little interactions with him now that have only just sort of been taking place in the last couple of weeks.
I love that. Yeah, animals and pets also have a natural ability to pull you into the present moment. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Whether it is the thing that they're picking up that you're like, please don't pick that up, or oh, interesting, what did you just bring me? It's like this little discovery. Yeah, there's just what you're describing is exactly the way that I experience it, and I don't know. I felt like it was something that I wanted other people to see.
Yeah.
And I think the second half of that, the idea behind it and why, is the more I was digging into maybe like why I have this connection. Well, yes, the present moment, but I like to get down, like I said, to like understanding the intention, or like, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. And just learning about the sort of like natural and this ancestral connection that we have to nature, right? It provided not only food and shelter, it also provided nutrients and beauty and all of these things that we need for survival. Mm-hmm. So there's just this draw that we have, like we're built around it. And so for me, you know, living in today's society, in today's world, we live in boxes, and most of the nature stays outside. And some people have plants in their home, and they've made a big resurgence recently. And I'm in love with that idea. And I have plants, and I've killed many plants. So just some of nature always doesn't mean that I'm really good at taking care of plants. But there's just like, I think there's just this draw that we keep coming back to be around nature, to be connected to nature. And I think it's something that maybe we don't fully understand, but the way that I understand it is sort of these present moment, something that it's fueling me in some way. It's fueling my spirit and my soul in some way that, you know, the best I can use is the English language to describe it in that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels just big and undeniable, right? It's one of these things that one of the only really, I guess, unifying forces that we could probably say exists in the world today, right? We could probably disagree on a bunch of things, geopolitical, social, cultural things, right? But like, nature's kind of important for survival. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So the idea that it's so undeniable and so big feels worthy to sort of like point at and say, this is important. Remember?
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm curious to know, you're in love with nature. You have been collecting things from nature for quite a long time. But then how did you go, all right, well, I'm turning this into art? Like, because that's a big leap. That's a leap from just having a display of beautiful natural things in your home to actually putting them on canvas. How did you, I'm going to assume that was an accident, or did you wake up when you suddenly had the idea and it had to happen? Like, how was that process? What's that process? Can you remember?
I feel like it was all of those things kind of stretched out and disconnected over the course of a few years. But the actual moment, I had been fiddling with some stuff, like dried mosses and bark from this big tree that we had to take down quite a number of years ago. She was like 150 years old. The previous owners had named her like Elsie. Wow. So like I cried for a week. We had to take her down because she was rotting and was a danger to anyone who sat under her.
Yeah.
And but I had collected a bunch of her bark, and we had got her cut in a way that we could mill her to make furniture and things out of. And nice. So we have a bunch of her around. She's a second life, essentially.
Yep.
And I'd been collecting her bark, and I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I just knew, like I said, I just kept saying, I'm a hoarder. Like, I was a nature hoarder. I just couldn't let it go. It was too beautiful. There was too many, like, just so many nooks and crannies in it. And so I had it around, and I was painting outside one day after fiddling with really tight compositions on things years ago, put it down, was like, ugh, that's not going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. And then one day was kind of just had it in my toolkit while I was outside at an outside easel. And I was painting, and I was like, oh, this is okay, I guess. Like, this is fun with color. And it was a fun experience. And I was like, oh, I wonder. And I just picked it up from my toolkit. And I was like, I wonder if I could put this. Interesting. And so I just started putting little bits of it in the canvas. And I was like, this is exciting. What's happening here?
Yeah.
And it was just this like electric moment that I had tried it with other things, but suddenly when it was sort of combined with a more, traditional art form, it like was this moment of like, oh, there it is. That's what you're trying to do. And I think, I don't know, I guess the part that I like to sort of describe people as like to understand like the bigness of that moment for me was like to like rewind like years where like 18, 19 was doing photography and doing commissioned like really, really realistic rendered drawings, like being an artist. And I'd moved to Chicago, and I thought that's where artists are supposed to live in cities to like connect and do art stuff. But what it was doing for me was, oh, did I lose you?
Hey, Art Supply Posse. I'm just popping in here to apologize to you for this little bit of a break in the podcast. Australia is not known for its high-quality internet, and the day I recorded with Jacqueline, we dropped out. I lost my internet. It was a mess. So a good couple of minutes of conversation just disappeared, which I am so, so sorry for. But there wasn't really anything we could do, and I just didn't want to try and re-record the whole thing because the conversation we had was so special, so spectacular, and it would have been another good conversation, I'm sure, but, you know, you can't recreate these things. So here's me saying sorry, and, yeah, now we will get back to the conversation. Where were we? We were
putting nature on canvas.
Yeah, roughly? Thereabouts. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You got the part.
Yeah,
earlier
yeah,
about
and with the tree that you'd had to remove, which is a little sad. I feel it's kind of sad, but also good. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it needed to happen, and I think we were kind of the right owners to be in that position to take her down because we gave her such a life afterwards.
Yeah,
yeah, very excited about all the. We have so many slabs of. Beautiful spalted maple that is around, and we're making things out of it. And it's funny, the parts that were sort of discarded from that, because we had somebody come out with it's called like an Alaskan sawmill, essentially, to help mill these things down into these slabs from her big round limbs and things. And the offcuts, the things that were sort of like, he was like, this isn't really something. I was go and scramble and pick them up and be like, what do you mean this is nothing? This is beautiful. I have to have it. Swirling away all these little offsets.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of those became these like little tiny pieces that I had put into just like one of my art, I don't know what to call them, I guess, tackle box, if you will, or a backpack, other things that I take with me when I would go paint outside. And so I was painting outside one day, and it was spring, so it wasn't very buggy. It was very lovely. It was a lovely free-feeling day, right? It's when you have your best ideas, when you feel free. And I picked up a couple of pieces as I was painting. I was like, I wonder what would happen if I put this in here. I wonder if I could, right? Which the answer always is, yes, you can in art. And the moment I did it, there was just this like electric aliveness that I felt of like, oh, this is the thing I've been wanting to do for years. And I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to incorporate the things that I wanted to feel expressive, to feel like it had a lot of emotion in it and something that I could really focus on. And it felt endless, you know. I think I've described it as like, it felt like one of those, I'm assuming how explorers might have felt at some point where they come to some sort of new location and they just see like endless possibility of like, I cannot wait to discover this. Like, I cannot wait to see what is here. And just that feeling is basically how it all started.
So prior to that stage, I take it you were doing art of some kind.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. I was in sort of what I like to call my like wandering years, I guess. So I had started off with like really realistic drawings and photography. Like I loved these things. I loved composition. I loved light and shadow. Mm-hmm. And I still very much do, which I think is why having something that's so sculptural on canvas, the way that light plays with it is so interesting to me as well. But, I had about like a 15, maybe even longer time period where I was doing a bunch of other art. I was trying every medium I could get my hands on, essentially, trying to see what felt right.
Yep.
And I tried ceramics. I tried drawing again. I tried weaving. I did, I taught myself how to weld. I was like, maybe welding is something I want to do. It is not, by the way. A lot of work, and it is a gift for sure. Just a lot of different mediums. And, you know, at the time I saw them as like, as a wandering, I joked I was an artist who hadn't really found their medium yet. And I think what I learned is through all of that, there's parts of all of that, that sort of exists and makes sense in my work. There's very textural things that I took from weaving. There's very sculptural things that I took from ceramics. Eventually when I bridge into sculpture, welding will be useful for me. But there'll be things that I notice. I'm like, oh, I would not have known how to do that if I had not picked up all these other mediums across the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had basically wandered and just didn't know how to find it until I found it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's an incredibly important point to note, because I think people can get caught up in, okay, I'm going to draw. And they're enjoying it, but it doesn't feel quite right, perhaps, which I think is simply it's not necessarily their thing. They may, you know, drawing could be part of what they do, but it's, I think it's okay to do what you did and explore so many different mediums, because if one thing doesn't work or if it doesn't feel right, it's not necessarily it's not because you don't necessarily have the skill for it to work. I think it's more, it's just, maybe it's just not what you are meant to be doing, or maybe you're meant to be doing it with, but with like, I don't know, 10 other mediums on the canvas or on your surface. Like, and I think, you know, I think because especially with the fact that we can see, you know, others' work online. And so you'll see, you know, somebody who's been, maybe they've been painting for 10 years and you think, well, that's what I want to do. I want to create that thing. But maybe that's not what you are there to create. You know, maybe your thing is something else. And I think that exploring that you did, I mean, aside from what it's given you in your sculptural work now, all that extra knowledge and extra skill and things like that, I think exploring is fine. And we need to cherish the exploring, I think, a lot more than perhaps we do.
Yeah, I think, oh man, so many things with that. I fully agree with all of that. I think there's like a pressure to know what you want to do at a certain age, right? So like you had better nail that thing down. And it almost feels like a failure if you do explore in some ways. And you had to unpack that for myself a lot too, where I was like, well, I guess that's not really what I want to do. And I think if you don't feel excited by the thing that you're doing, then try something else. But none of the other art that I made doesn't, it's still a part of my body of work, right? Like those are the things that I saw and I felt and I wanted to create. And I think I don't see those as anywhere detached from my current body of work, right? It's all a part of it. And I think as you explore mediums and being a student is like the key to being an artist, right? You just have to keep being a student. And even the frustrations that come along with that, right? It's like, oh, well, I learned that lesson again. Great. Yep. Okay. I know. And I think there's, I don't know, there's a humbleness with it, but there's also like inherently being a student means there's more to discover.
Yeah.
And so I think that's for me, like the funnest and the most frustrating part about it.
Absolutely.
Like, all in one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's good. It's exciting, but it can be so frustrating. Especially I find it frustrating when you actually repeat a mistake. You're like, hang on, didn't I learn this? Oh, no, apparently not. No. And you're just like, oh.
You're like, great. Just, and I don't know, I guess, you know, you could look at it as, oh, I wasted time, or maybe there's something in that mistake that's interesting. Yes. Like maybe there's something there that you're like, oh,
correct.
I see a little something.
Maybe there. That's why you repeated it, because there's something in there that you need to pull out of that and utilize it in another way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, thinking about what you were talking about, social media and seeing painting. And I think a lot of that's what pulled me back to painting. Mm-hmm. I had learned it in college, you know, I was earning my BFA and but I learned like the classical techniques and it just really didn't hold any soul for me, but I wanted to be an artist. Like I knew that in my soul, but I just didn't know that that wasn't it.
Yep.
So I think I just shelved that. I was like, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like I want to do it. And so when I came back to it, I was like, I was doing it kind of begrudgingly. I was like, okay, I guess I'll try painting again. And I was just like, I don't know. Then that day I was like, oh, but it's not painting.
Yeah.
This is not. It isn't.
And it's kind of mixed
right,
media.
Yeah.
If you were going to put it in any kind of classification, it's kind of mixed media, right? Like they are sculptures, mm-hmm. yes, but you're using multiple different things. I don't know. Maybe it just doesn't need classification.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I feel like I circle a bunch, but the idea of like sculptural nature art or paintings,
yeah.
there is paint involved.
Yeah.
So technically, yes,
yeah.
they are. Paintings,
yeah.
right? So yeah, it's something that I feel it's just a new classification that I haven't really pinned down, if you will. But that's the closest I've gotten.
Yeah.
Is sculptural nature art.
Yeah, it works.
But yeah, very influenced by the idea of like, well, all these other painters are doing painting. Like clearly this is something that I should be dipping back into. And I don't know, maybe that's what's pushing me to think about more sculptural work is like, well, I don't see a lot of sculpture.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. So how do you decide, or is it, maybe it's not even a decision. Maybe it's all subconscious. I don't know. You have a piece of nature, whether it's something you've recently found, something you've had for forever. How do you work out what's going to happen with that piece?
Oh, man. It's evolved over the course of sort of my practice evolving. The most successful ways I've done it is there's always a piece or a collection of nature, you know, elements, organic elements that I just am in love with. And I don't know exactly what I want to do with it
yet.
But I know that I need to show them. I need to express them. So usually I'll just kind of study them, look at them, figure out kind of what's happening with them. And then I'll just start creating some what I like to call underpaintings, right? The things that are on the canvas, mm-hmm. the stuff that's happening there. Colors, movement, whatever. Eventually something starts to spark or I'm like, oh, this palette feels really interesting for this piece. So it's really a lot of discovery. I do a lot of like on paper kind of color studies and things that sort of help me sort through what I'm thinking. But from there, then I'll just create a bunch of canvases at once and usually like raw canvases. I don't, something about a canvas being mounted feels very final. It feels very like, well, don't mess this up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, a little scary. So when it's on raw canvas, it feels like, oh, if I don't like it, I can roll it up and look at it a different day, right? So there's less pressure. There's more freedom, I guess, is the way to look at it. So from there, then I just start playing with the composition of what nature element I'm really like circling, you know, for that body of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start placing it down, going, ah, that's right. Oh, that's not right. And then I'll just keep working what I'm thinking from there. So it kind of starts with the nature element and then it bridges into wanting to highlight something within it or highlight an idea, a concept that has come to me from that piece mm-hmm. specifically.
Do different pieces have, not color, color's the wrong word, but do they evoke different feelings in you? Like, you know, if we think of bark, for example, from that tree that you had to fell, as opposed to, I don't know, a piece of bark you might find when you've gone for a hike. Like, do they give you a different emotion which then comes out in different color palettes?
Yeah, I think so. And this is the first time that I've actually thought about this. So I love this question. I think depending on, you know, obviously I had a lot of emotional attachment, sentimentality towards the LC pieces. So I wanted those pieces to be really beautiful. Mm. And from there, you know, I've had other pieces that I found when we go on like artist research residencies, where I go and explore areas and find things that really spark me there. And I found an example is I found a piece in the Michigan Upper Peninsula. It was the sweet cherry bark, which is like very dark. So maple is really like light colored, which is what Elsie was. This is a very dark piece. And I was like, I think I know what I want to do with this. I want to make this a very dark piece because the UP is a very moody space to me. It's very treed and it has, you know, it's a very boreal space, which is like very ferny and mossy and all of this. I was like, I think I want this piece to be dark and more moody. And I, that's sort of like the juxtaposition I could probably paint the clearest without thinking for hours on this, this concept that you've just given me. But yeah, they do, there's different things. And if a piece has a lot of lichen on it, it's bright and dancey to me, right? It has this very like playful feeling, the way that lichen kind of grows up trees and things of that nature. I think so.
I would have thought so, but you know, you assume things and it's not, that's why I ask. It's like just throwing all these questions at you. As I'm thinking of things, I'm like, So would there be, is there anything you wouldn't put into a painting? Like, is there any parts of nature that just, and I'm not talking about size. Let's pretend there's no size, you know, you're using raw canvas, so I guess your canvas is as big as you can get hold of. But aside from that, is there something you just wouldn't put into your, and it can be, I guess, a couple of things, right? Like you just don't like it. Like maybe you don't necessarily like, I don't know, seashells or something like that. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. As you said, seashells, it made me realize that I am just not a beach person. I am a trees, grass, and shade person through and through. So maybe things that are on the beach would be less appealing to me because it's not a space that I love, that I feel really connected to. It's interesting because when you were first asking the question, I was like, no, there's nothing about nature. But I realized, you're being really honest. Sand is kind of annoying.
Well, I think the stuff we don't like is as important as what we do like, right? Like, because it's just getting to understanding why we do what we do, why we're drawn to what we're drawn to. And sometimes I think knowing what you don't like is good because it, you can use that to challenge yourself too, right?
Absolutely. You know? I love that because I talking about this with a couple of our other artist friends where like there's just things in art that I'm just like, I don't get it. Like I want to get it. I don't get it. And I've learned to try to pinpoint why I don't like it. And I don't get it is like a blanket statement. It's not a real reason really.
No, but it's a good default.
Right. It's a good default. Yeah, exactly. Like I don't like pink. But I think the idea of really drilling into, again, the intentions, the motivations, the emotions, like, why don't you like this? What about it is repelling you?
Yeah.
Because then you can either inform what you don't want to make, or you might be able to, if you can put that aside, you might be able to see something in that piece that does a draw to you. And I think a lot of times for me, the things that I'm sort of repelled from are really those really traditional paintings, right? Those like Renaissance and paintings that were really figurative and beautiful lighting, right? So that was the thing that drew me to them, was like beautiful lighting. The Dutch nailed lighting very much so in their Renaissance. And but the content was never really appealing to me, but I had to really put that aside and go, well, there's something really beautiful in this light right here. So yeah, it is interesting to be able to pick those apart. That's why going to a museum is so interesting because you get so many different styles that you can experience.
And
I had another artist friend tell me that they intentionally go to the places that they are repelled from to force themselves to understand what about this is repelling me and is there something here that I could see differently. And I found that so interesting.
Yeah. What an incredible way to think about it.
I'm not there yet. I only give like the things that repel me like maybe 5 minutes. But I think eventually I'll get there.
Maybe in your next life.
But yeah. Right. Yeah. In my next life, I'll be a lot more, I don't know, zen with that sort of thing.
So I'm interested to know, you're making your pieces in an incredibly stunning studio. For our listeners, Jacqueline and I have video so we can see each other, and it's gorgeous. And I'm watching as the conversation goes on, the light behind her change. And I really wish I was there. Like, it just, oh, it's magic. But when you're taking those pieces, so they have been purchased, a collector has bought them, and they're now hanging in their home. Have you had the privilege, the honor, the opportunity to see them hanging in someone else's home, for one thing? Like, so not your own space and not a gallery, which is a whole nother world, but into someone else's physical home? Because I'm curious to know how they fit into people's homes, because it is such a different form of art. And it's, so it's not a, you know, a flat canvas on a wall. It is a 3D, it is a sculpture, as you say. So how does it fit into someone's space? Because I'm imagining their light throughout the day in their home makes it look a little bit different again to how it does in your studio.
Oh, man, it definitely does. And I think the other thing that I've experienced and they've experienced too is, so the work, it has a wider viewing angle, right? It's not, you can see it from the side and it's interesting. You can see it from three quarters, front, other way. Like, you, as you walk around it, it changes entirely. Yes. And I love the observation of as light changes during the day, the shadows change as well.
Yeah.
You know, it has like a life to it in some way. That's so interesting.
Yep.
And all of that was entirely subconscious as I was making it too, right? Just to be fully transparent. It was, I just wanted dimension. I wanted texture. I wanted real natural elements in it, because those are the things that I wanted to surround myself with. And so then there was this discovery of like, oh my gosh, this is going to have such an interesting look at 9 a.m. versus 6 p.m. Or if you're having a dinner party and you've got candles lit and it's reflecting off of the things, right? It's just, there's so many different ways you can take it. It can be moody or it can be bright and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah. It would be.
I love that observation.
Yeah, it would be one of those things I would find myself standing in front of at different times of the day and night just to observe how different everything looks.
But that, like, what you just described, like, that's my, like, I feel like mission achieved.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished. That has happened. If somebody wants to stand in front of this and discover all the small moments that can just pull, like, they're being pulled into the present.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I want to give people, is the ability to be pulled into the present, whether it's through my art or whether it's through noticing, like, oh, wow, I never noticed how lichen does this.
Yeah.
And then they're out walking one day going, oh, look at this tree's li-. Like, they're being transported to the present in both of those scenarios. Yeah. So, like, that's my dream. That's what I want in life.
So I'm curious to know, though, because we do have, and I keep saying I'm curious. I've just realized I keep saying I'm curious. But anyway, that's apparently where my mindset is. I'm curious today. We have nature and we have paint together. What preservation is done, or is it a case of just no preservation and whatever happens with time happens?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mix. So there is preservation, I think, depending on the piece itself, if it's feeling stable, if it's not feeling stable. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of different techniques and mediums that I use, and resins and hardeners and things that can help just keep something from disintegrating entirely, right? Because that's a disaster. But what I tell my collectors is, you know, it is natural, it is organic. It might shift and change a little bit, but that's a part of the beauty of nature, right? Is that, like, it's going to evolve slightly over time.
Yeah.
And whether or not, I guess what I also say is, like, if something goes dramatically awry, just let me know, right? Like, we will find a solution. There's always a solution.
Of course.
But yeah, usually it's more like a curiosity that they have, then, to use the word that you're using today, of like, oh, that is interesting. I wonder what will happen to this over time. Will it sort of age a little bit? Will it do something different? Some of the pieces that I've had that I know I keep mentioning lichen, but it's just this like, sometimes it's just like this magic element that exists on bark for me, where I'll tell collectors, like, if you really want, like every once in a while, you can spray it with a little bit of water and it'll kind of like relight up in some way. Wow. So it's like this like fun little like secret note they have that they can just like give it a little love and have it come back to life in that way.
A living sculpture.
Yeah, I love that idea. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not alive, but it's kind of alive. Yeah. I don't know. I have to dig more into the biology of lichen. Maybe I'll ask Hava next time we chat. I feel like she would know.
Yeah, she might do. She might do. So you've mentioned lichen a bit. Is that your favorite thing to incorporate into a piece, or is there like, is there favorites? Maybe you don't have favorites.
I don't know. I feel like I just, each collection, each body of work, I discover something different. That was sort of my favorite in my most recent body of work. Yeah. There was just something really interesting with that in mosses that just adds this softer texture to bark.
Yeah.
But my, I don't know, my recent favorite thing that I'm exploring in this new body of work is like what's on the backside of bark.
Mm-hmm.
So like what's under there? Cause I had found in my nature hoarding, I always joke, I call it going shopping when I go hiking because I'm essentially shopping for art supplies.
Yeah.
I found these pieces of bark that were they'd fallen off the branch, right? They were kind of next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed on the branch, on the back of the bark, there was these little beetle trails. So a beetle was living between the bark and the actual hardwood and trailing and laying eggs and doing all kinds of things, right? Living essentially.
Yeah.
And it made these really beautiful lines that I just could not take I could not get enough of this stuff. I didn't know what to do with it. I've had it around for a year and I'm just starting to explore it in this new body of work. And it's just so thrilling to be able to show people stuff that they wouldn't normally see, I guess, in nature.
Yep.
Extra wouldn't be able to see, not just the bark that they walk by 10 times a day, but sort of like the flip side of it. Like what's happening underneath all that?
Well, as you said, like that was a beetle living its life and it's going about its world, doing its thing. It may have died. It may have moved on, but capturing that and featuring that, that's an incredible, because that's now there I just say forever because that's how I go. You know, it's now there in that piece of artwork, or it's going to be admired in a whole different way that would never have been there, would never have been noticed. You know, like it's only if you, as you notice, you turn it over, you see that, you would just not necessarily see that at all. And it's fabulous, and it's amazing to think there's this whole other world going on that we're not even aware of unless we stop and think about it.
Right. Yeah. We have the human complex where a lot of times we feel like we're the most important species on this planet.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, little beetles can make really beautiful lines on the backside of bark.
Yes.
Which is no more and no less important than our lives in that
Absolutely.
way. But I don't know. I'm excited for that body of work to sort of turn the corner so I can release it and share with everybody.
Getting back to the new body of work, how do you decide on a new body of work? Is it the look on your face says enough?
No, finish your question because I need to buy some time to figure that answer out.
It's interesting because you can, as the viewer, which is what I'm considering myself, looking at what's on your website and what's on your Instagram feed, I can see, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's a body of work. But is it a thing that you know is happening, or is it sort of two pieces in or three pieces in and you're suddenly like, oh, hang on a sec, this is a body of work?
You know, I feel like that probably is what happened. I did intentionally, there sort of becomes a moment, I guess, with a body of work where you start to realize, like, I think I might have explored the depths of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, the pieces just start to not work as well, or you start to try to construct them so tightly and you lose the freedom.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's a sign of the time for me to go, okay, I think this body of work maybe needs to be paused.
If it's no longer giving you that excitement to be making it, then it's time to move on, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, the subject matter, I'm just going to, I always like to say pausing because I might revisit that idea later.
Yep.
It might, maybe there's something new that comes to me, but yeah, this body of work, I think I was deciding I wanted to do something a little different. It kind of felt like I had lost sort of that spark for that initial body there and, or the previous body of work. And this one, I don't know, I was, as I was prepping some pieces, I was noticing that I was flipping it all over to like get all the dust and dirt off of it, right? Because nobody wants that. Yeah. And I realized I kept flipping it back to the other side, not the bark side. And I was like, well, this is, why do I keep looking at this? What's happening here? And I was like, well, this is literally 180 from what I was just exploring, which was very much this like heightened expressive moment. So I started to think about like, well, what if I got a little quieter? What if things got a little more minimal? What if I focused on the inside, right? So flipping to the mirror side, to go back to our initial analogy, right? Initially it was window. What if I did more of a mirror? What is the feeling on the inside? So I don't know. I guess that's how that kind of happened. And I had a couple artist friends that I was talking with and bouncing ideas off of. And I was like, I think I want to do something about this inside thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, that sounds amazing. So there was feedback and conversation, which I find to be incredibly helpful as an artist.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Is it helpful? You need that feedback.
Yeah, definitely. I think this has been an incredible conversation. I'm literally sitting here just thinking of going outside. Honestly, I'm thinking of just going outside and just looking at things. And I mean, I already did that this morning. It's funny because on my walk this morning, and I'm not sure if it was because I knew our conversation was coming up,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know, but I crouched down to take a couple of photos of some flowers. Mm-hmm. But next to the flowers was just this pile, for want of a better description, of, I don't even know if it was bark. It may have been bark. Now I think about it. But it was just there. It was there on its own accord. No one had put it there. But suddenly I was like, oh, I think that's almost more interesting than the flowers that I love, you know? Like, and it was just, it was just a moment of presentness, I guess. And I suspect it may have been, I mean, I do like to, nature I love, and I find it incredibly invigorating. But it was just, I think, just stopping and noticing that little composition reminded me. I think it was just, I knew this conversation was coming up, and I suspect I was subconsciously looking for things, and I'm like, oh, this is great. So I'm now thinking I need to go outside and just pick up bits of leaves and bark and just look at them in a whole nother way.
Well, yeah, and as a photographer, I mean, I'd imagine that you're always searching for composition.
Yeah.
It's like your eyes
all the time.
Just can't stop seeing it everywhere.
All the time.
Oh, man, and which is a blessing and a curse, I'm sure.
Correct, both, yes. I was recently away with a friend on a weekend away, and I'm like, I am so sorry, I just have to stop. And she's like, after about four or five goes of this, she's like, will you stop saying sorry? Just, that's fine. I'm just like,
oh,
I just have to take this photo.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of something. This is another one of those moments where it just sticks with you, right? There was, I think it must have been a teacher, a mentor of some sort during my formative years, had said, you know, as an artist, you're just going to see things differently and see things other people don't see.
Yep.
And it just stuck with me. And like, as soon as she said it, I like instantly thought about nature in that moment where I was like, I see so many things that is happening that I'm fairly certain that no one else sees. Otherwise, there would be like no rocks on this path ever. Everyone would be like, look at this beautiful rock.
Yeah.
And they'd all take them home. Yeah. So, but that's exactly what you're describing, is that like you were seeing things. And as a photographer, the ultimate seers, I feel like you see all these moments.
Have you ever been in a place where you actually haven't been able to take something from nature?
Yeah. Oh. You know, when you're in sort of like the preserves,
yes,
or the national parks, the places that's like protected, and oh man, it's heartbreaking, but you can always take a photo.
Sure you can.
You know,
it's just not quite the same.
It's not quite the same. Yeah. And it aches, you know, but at the same time, the more intrinsic value for me is like, yeah, I want to preserve this. I want to protect it. I want people to see
it. Yes, of course. Yeah.
But man, I could just have that. I could just have that one brand. I really want it. I really want it.
We need to get some kind of special permission for you. You know, you have a right? letter from the authorities saying, look, she's an artist and she's only going to take one. Like,
Yeah, I do get some funny looks while I'm hiking where I'm carrying this branch that's twice the size of me. I'm like, don't worry, I'm an artist. And usually they're like, okay. Yeah. And they give me a pass.
If you had a dog with you, the dog could be carrying it for you. See? Then you don't look silly. They look cute having this great big branch, but secretly they're collecting things for you. Just put it out there.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, now that's a recipe for needing a dog. Be like, look. You incognito, you're going to be my nature collector.
Correct. You can get away with a lot with a dog.
I didn't realize this hack. Yeah. Thank you so much for that.
Life hack. Yeah. Oh, Jacqueline, this conversation has got me so inspired. Thank you so much for taking time. I've just loved every bit of this conversation. I feel like we may need to revisit in I don't know, 12 months or something, just to see where things are at and how much more they've grown. And I do feel like there's more we could have talked about that we just didn't quite get to.
Every single one of those topics had like 10 tendrils off of them that we just didn't
get to. Yes. I just don't want to bore the listeners. I don't want to put them to sleep. you know. look, let's finish off properly. Where is the best way for listeners to find you?
On Instagram, my handle is, oh boy, I guess I should spell it. Jacqueline_Gordian. So JACLYN_GORDYAN. That's my Instagram handle. I'm on Facebook as well. Similar research. I'm the only name that is that.
Yeah.
And then my website, which is JacquelineGordian.com. Those are probably the best ways to find me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. This has just been a great conversation.
Oh, I enjoyed it so much. Thank you. And I would love to revisit in 12 months. Tell me when and where, and I will be there in the past for you.
I love it.